The believer is not stung from the same hole twice.
After the Battle of Badr, Abu Azza al-Jumahi, a poet, was a prisoner in the hands of the Muslims. He was from the Quraysh, and through his poetry, he would incite battle against the Muslims. After his capture, he said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Indeed, I am poor, and I have many dependents that are needy, and you know of this. So please have mercy upon me, and may Allah have mercy upon you." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did so and released him. Before the Battle of Uhud, Safwan ibn Umayyah, one of the leaders of the Quraysh, said to the poet before they were to fight the Muslims, "O Abu Azza, indeed you are a poet, so help us with your words to incite the men to battle." Abu Azza replied that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had bestowed a favor upon him by giving him his freedom, and he did not wish to go against that kindness. Safwan said, "Help us, and if you return alive from this battle, I will make you rich. And if you are struck down, I will make your daughters partners with my daughters in my wealth." So Abu Azza went forth with them, and again was taken prisoner by the Muslims for a second time. Again he pleaded with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking to be pardoned. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "By Allah, your cheeks will not touch Mecca, and you will not be able to say that indeed you have deceived Muhammad twice. Indeed, the believer is not stung from the same hole twice. O Zubayr, strike his neck." Zubayr struck his neck, and he was killed.
Do not judge by one's clothes.
On the day of Qadisiyah, during the caliphate of Omar, radiyallahu anhu, the famous companion Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiyallahu anhu, sent Rib'i ibn Amir, radiyallahu anhu, to Rustam, the leader of Faris, meaning Persia. Ibn Amir entered upon Rustam's gathering place that had been beautified with gold, silk, pearls, and gems, and upon Rustam's head was a crown. Ibn Amr continued to ride on his mount until he reached the edge of the extravagant carpet, where he descended. He wore a simple, tattered garment along with his armor and helmet. The guards asked him to remove his armor, and he replied, "Indeed, I have not come to you except after you had invited me. If you leave me as I am, I will see your king. If not, then I will return from whence I came." Rustam advised his guards to let him proceed. Ibn Amr went forward, leaning on his spear, which tore the carpet. The king's advisors asked him what had brought him to them. He responded, "Allah has sent us to take whom he pleases from the worship of slaves to the worship of Allah, and from the narrowness of the world to its vastness, and from the oppression of religions to the justice of Islam. He has sent us with his religion to the creation so that we may invite them to it, and whoever accepts it, we leave alone. However, whoever refuses, we fight continually until we reach Allah's promise." They asked what Allah's promise was, and Ibn Amr replied, "Paradise for he who dies while fighting those who refuse, and victory for those who remain." Rustam said, "I have heard your speech and will grant us reflection on this matter for us and yourself." Ibn Amr agreed and asked if he should return in a day or two. Rustam replied that they would require time to take counsel, to which Ibn Amr replied that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not set a precedence for them to delay the enemies while they are about to meet with them for more than 3 days. Rustam asked if Ibn Amr was the leader, and he replied to this inquiry that no, he wasn't, but the Muslims act as one body, and that the least of them in status may take one into their protection without the permission of those with higher status. Rustam gathered with the leaders of his people, and at first he was inclined to Ibn Amr's words. He said, "Have you ever seen anything more honorable, upright, and superior than the speech of this man?" They replied, "We seek refuge in God that you lean toward anything that he said, leaving your religion for this dog. Did you not see his garments?" Rustam answered, "Woe unto you. Do not look at one's garments, but rather at his words, opinions, speech, and character."
The First University.
The first university in the world was the University of Qarawiyyin in the city of Fas in Morocco, which was ordered to be built by Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Fihri al-Qirwani. Fatima and Maryam, his two daughters, made sure it was built as per their father's request. It was completed in 859 Hijra and was originally a mosque for prayer, as well as an institution for knowledge and Islamic jurisprudence.
The sagacity of Suhail ibn Amr.
Suhail ibn Amr, Harith ibn Hisham, Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, and other leaders and chiefs of the Quraysh were waiting at the door of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Also waiting there were Suhaib, Bilal, and other freed slaves who participated with the Muslims in the Battle of Badr. The permission was given to the freed slaves to enter and not to Suhail and his companions. Abu Sufyan said, "I have never seen a day where slaves such as these have been allowed to enter while we have been left at the door. And Omar has not even turned to see us." Suhail ibn Amr, a profound and poignant speaker, said, "O people, by Allah, I see by your faces that you are very angry, but be angry at yourselves. They were invited to Islam, and you were invited to Islam. They hastened to accept and you tarried." Hassan replied, "By Allah, Suhail has spoken the truth. Allah the Exalted does not equate the slave who hastens to him with the slave who tarries."
Aisha bint Talha.
Hassan ibn Ali ibn Hussein said to his wife, Aisha bint Talha, "Your affair is in your hand," meaning, "If you want a divorce, then I shall grant it." She said, "For 20 years it has been in your hand, and you have done well to preserve it. I will not let it be wasted in my hand for even a single hour, and so I have returned the matter to you." He was so impressed by her words that he decided to keep her as his wife and not divorce her.
The flock is the responsibility of the shepherd.
Sa'id ibn Amir radiyallahu anhu said to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, "Indeed, I advise you with words that are taken from the comprehensive precepts of Islam. Fear Allah in how you deal with people, and do not fear people with how you are with Allah. And let not your speech be contrary to your actions, for indeed, the best of speech is that which is in accordance with action. Love for those Muslims that are near to you and those that are far, that which you love for yourself and for your family. Do not fear blame or hardship in your quest for what you know to be true."
Patience.
Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu anhu, went to Ash'ath to console him upon the death of one of his sons. He said, "If you are sad, then you are deserving of mercy. But if you are patient, then Allah gives you something in place of what was lost or destroyed. And know that if you are patient, everything that was destined for you and preordained for you will occur, and you are rewarded. If you complain and are hopeless, then likewise, all that was destined for you will occur, except that you will be blamed for your impatience at Allah's will.
Allah's Angels.
The famous and eminent companion, Abdullah ibn Salam, radiyallahu anhu, was a righteous Jew before the coming of Islam, and in fact was a known scholar for his religion. He accepted Islam with great sincerity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "You have two rewards, one for your previous religion, and the second for this time after your acceptance of Islam." Many years later, those who were rebellious during the caliphate of Uthman radiyallahu anhu wanted to kill him. Abdullah ibn Salam said to them, "O people, do not unsheathe your sword against him, for if you do, you will not put them back in their sheaths. Your leader today stands with a shield, but if you kill him, he will stand with a sword. Woe unto you! Indeed, Al-Madinah is surrounded by angels, and if you kill him, those angels will leave us." They said, "O son of the Jew, what is it to you, this affair?" So he left them. The fighting ensued, and all that he warned against did occur. Indeed, our return is to Allah, and to him we belong.
The Slow One.
Muhammad ad-Dari related the following. Among us, there was a rather slow and heedless man. He left the city of Dar, taking with him 10 donkeys. He mounted one of them and then counted 9 donkeys in his flock. He descended and then counted 10. He did this a number of times and then said, "For me to walk and gain a profit of 1 donkey is better than for me to ride and lose 1 donkey. He continued to walk and almost died from weakness until finally he reached his village.
Mother of the Martyrs.
When Muthanna ibn Haritha al-Shaybani went to Qadisiyah during the caliphate of Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu, Khansa was with her 4 children that were accompanying the army on the day of battle and the night before it. Khansa gathered her children to guide and incite them to fight with bravery. She warned them from wanting to flee from battle while reminding them of the merits and rewards of martyrdom in the way of Allah the Exalted. She said to them, "O my children, you have accepted Islam in obedience and you have migrated by your own choice. And you know of the plentiful rewards that Allah has prepared for the believers for fighting those who do not believe. Know that the final abode is better than this transient one. Allah the Exalted says,
O you who believe, endure and be more patient than your enemy, and guard your territory by stationing army units permanently at the places from where the enemy can attack you, and fear Allah so that you may be successful."
Khansa's children went forth to fight with determination and firmness in faith. They were all martyred by Allah's will. Upon hearing this news, she uttered, "All praise is for Allah, who has honored me with their martyrdom, and I hope from my Lord that he unites me with them in the final destination under his mercy. May Allah bless all mothers with Khansa's sacrificing and patient heart."
A glimpse of the Prophet's forgiveness.
Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, related the story of a man from Banu Hanifa named Thumama ibn Uthal, who was taken prisoner by the Muslims. After the Muslims captured him, this leader of Yamama was tied up to a column in the mosque. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come out to him and say, "What is with you, O Thumama?" He would reply, "O Muhammad, I have much with me that is good, and if you kill me, then you are killing one that has many relatives. If you show favor to me, then you are showing favor to one that is thankful. If you wish for wealth, then ask, and you shall be given wealth." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left him, and then returned the next day to ask again, "What is with you, O Thumama?" He replied, "It is as I have told you." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left him only to return the following day to ask again, "What is with you, O Thumama?" He said, "With me is what I have said to you. If you show kindness, then you are showing kindness to one who is grateful. If you kill, you are killing one who has a large clan. And if it is wealth you desire, I can provide you with wealth." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions, "Free Thumama." Thumama then went to a date palm tree near the mosque, washed himself, entered the mosque, and declared, "I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger and slave." He said, "O Muhammad, by Allah, there was no face that was more hated to me than your face, and now it has become the most beloved face to me. By Allah, there was no religion that was more hated to me than your religion, and now it is the most beloved to me. By Allah, there was no land that was more hated to me than your land, and now your land has become the most beloved to me. I wish to perform Umrah." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon hearing this wish, gave him glad tidings and told him to act upon his noble intentions. When he went to Mecca, someone said to him, "Indeed, you have apostatized." He replied, "No, indeed I have accepted Islam with the Prophet, and by Allah, you will not receive even a grain of wheat from Yamama unless the Prophet allows it."
Patience and lawful sustenance.
Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu anhu, entered the mosque of Kufa one day, where he saw a man standing at the door of the mosque. He asked that man to hold his mount for him so he could enter. Upon his exit, Ali had 2 dirhams in his hand that he had intended to give the man in return for his services. However, he found that the mule was still there without its reins. So he gave the 2 dirhams to his servant Qanbar to purchase new reins for his mule. At the marketplace, Ali's servant found the exact reins that the thief had sold for 2 dirhams. So Ali said to him, "Indeed, the slave forbids himself from lawful sustenance by abstaining from patience."
The supplication of those who are wronged.
Ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, reported that Marwan sent a group to Sa'id ibn Zayd, radiyallahu anhu, to speak to him about an issue concerning a woman named Urwa bint Aus. She was a plaintiff to the ruler Marwan, complaining that Sa'id ibn Zayd took some of her land, and in it there was her well also. When that group from Marwan approached Sa'id ibn Zayd about this issue, he replied, "They think that I have wronged her. And indeed, I have heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that whoever wrongs someone of their land to the degree of a span of a hand, he will be clasped on the day of judgment from 7 earths. He continued, "O Allah, if she was lying, then do not let her die until she loses her sight and make her grave her well." Omar relates that indeed she did not die until she lost her sight. She met her death by falling into her well. The eminent companion, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiyallahu anhu, was one whose supplications were answered. The Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, supplicated for him and said, "Make your food pure and lawful, and your supplication will be answered." It is reported from Jabir ibn Samira, radiyallahu anhu, in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, that the people of Kufa complained to Caliph Omar about their governor Sa'd concerning all matters. They even said of Sa'd that he did not pray properly. Sa'd explained that he prayed with them the prayer of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Omar, radiyallahu anhu, said that this is what he would expect from him. Omar sent people to Kufa to inquire about the governor, Sa'd. In all the mosques, people praised him well, but in the mosque of Bani Abs, a man named Usama ibn Qatada, who was generally called Abu Sa'da, stood up and said, "Indeed, Sa'd does not distribute the wealth of the Muslims equally among the people, and he is not just in his rulings." News of this statement reached Sa'd, radiyallahu anhu, and he said, "O Allah, if this slave of yours has stood up to show off or to gain a reputation by uttering falsehoods, then prolong his life, prolong his state of poverty, take away his sight, and afflict him with trials." The narrator continues to report that after that, he saw him as an old man, whose eyebrows fell over his eyes, standing in the road, winking at young girls. He even said about himself that he was an old man put to trial through the supplication of Sa'd.
They were trying to make him angry.
Ahnaf ibn Qais was famous for his forbearance and patience and for not becoming angry. Some of his companions gathered together and decided that they would try to do something to arouse his anger. One of them went to him, proposing to marry his mother. Ahnaf said, "We are not rejecting you because we think your status is too low, nor because we lack the desire to be related to you through marriage. Rather, it is because my mother is old in age. She is almost 70. And you are a young man in the prime of your youth. You need an affectionate and fertile woman who will take from your manners and learn from your character." He then said to the young man, "Return to your people and inform them that you are not able to make me angry."
A beautiful approach to exhorting to Islam.
Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, related that one day he passed by the marketplace of Al-Madinah and stood there and said to the owners of the shops, "O people of the marketplace, what has rendered you incapable?" They replied, "What are you referring to, O Abu Huraira?" He said, "There is the inheritance of the Prophet being distributed and you are here? Will you not go there and take your share of the inheritance?" They said, "Where is it?" He replied, "In the mosque." So they raced out all together from the marketplace to the mosque to receive their share, and Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, remained there waiting for their return. They came back looking disappointed. Abu Huraira asked them what they found at the mosque. They replied, "O Abu Huraira, when we went to the mosque, we did not find any inheritance or estate that was being distributed." Abu Huraira asked them what they saw in the mosque. They recounted that they saw a group engaged in prayer, and another busy in the recitation of the Quran, and another studying what is lawful and not lawful. Then Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, said to them, "Woe unto you, for that is the inheritance of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam."